It's Your Health Radio, a special podcast series presented by Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital. Here's Melanie Cole.
If you're a parent of a teenager, you know that going back to school after the holidays can be especially anxiety-riddled for your kids. They get nervous about going back, measuring up against others on how great their holidays were, and so on. I mean, there's so many things that come into consideration, including sleeping late, and then they don't want to get back up to start school again. This is It's Your Health Radio with Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital. I'm Melanie Cole, and we're talking today with Dr. Neela Sethi. She's a pediatrician with Valencia Pediatric Associates and a member of the medical staff at Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital. Dr. Sethi, it's a pleasure to have you on, as always. When our teens are going back to school, do you feel that our kids are more stressed than we were as kids? Do you think that they're under different types of stress than we were under? And why do they hate going back to school after the holidays?
The short answer to that is yes, yes, and yes. They definitely feel more pressure than we did as kids. I think the pressure on teens in general is more than when we were kids. They do compare more. Their exposure is more. The way that society tells them they have to be via social media is more, and they just don't get the chance to turn off. So what I say to parents is imagine our breaks, where we had to talk on the home phone to our friends, and we didn't see what they were doing. If it was out of sight, out of mind, and we really had to hone in on family time, mostly because we didn't have a choice, but that's what was sort of expected of us. So it was family dinners, family traditions, going to grandma's house, spending a lot of time with our loved ones over the holidays, getting sleep. And I mean, I remember sleeping till noon or one during the holidays and my mom waking me up saying, okay, it's time for you to start the day. And just kind of baking with my mom and doing our family traditions. And that was the beauty of Christmas break or the holiday break. When I'd go back to school, sure, it was hard, but I was kind of rejuvenated and revived, kind of got to go back and visit my family's traditions and morals and values and came back excited to see my friends. The teens now are not like that. One, the phone, and two, their connection with social media makes it so they never turn off. They're constantly comparing themselves to, oh, my friends are in Aspen, my friends are in Mammoth, everybody else is in Big Bear, everybody's skiing, I've never been on skis, why have I been on skis, Mom? My friend is going to the Pantages to see Frozen, I didn't get to go to do that. Why are all my friends at a movie? They didn't call me and invite me. So goes their brain into why? Why have I not been included? Why am I not measuring up? Because of that, too, they're way more unplugged. So they feel like they can concentrate on their phone. And guess what? They're not watching you bake. They're not learning the recipes. They're not spending time with grandma when grandma's telling old stories about what she did when she came to this country or what she used to do during the Depression. They're not paying attention because they're scrolling. They're on their phone. They're not checked into what's happening around them. They are checked out. And by that way, they can be unplugged. And when you are unplugged, you can numb. And when you numb, you're not feeling what really brings joy and happiness in a teen, which is bringing them back to their roots, family morals and values, and just the basics. So that's a long answer to the question, but the short answer is yes. They feel much more than they should because we're not giving them what they need, which is just family time and less instead of more.
Hear, hear. You know, and I just blame everything on those phones. I swear as a parent, I'm like, it's that phone. It's the phone. But in any case, as we get past that and they are avoiding school or they don't want to go back or they call us from school after a few days and ask to be picked up. That's happened to so many of us. How do we recognize when they're feeling that anxiety and when it's something we really need to perk up about and maybe visit our pediatrician or specialist about?
It's a great question. So first off, I tell parents, you have to be a mindful parent. Knowing that your child is going back to school, you can't just wait till Sunday night to try to prep them for school. That's not right. If they've been going to bed at 1 a.m. and waking up at noon, you can't all of a sudden expect that when you wake them up at 6 that they're going to be bright and cheery. Kids, teens especially, have a circadian rhythm, just like all humans do. So it's very important to start setting back the clock. And as much as they hate it, slowly getting them to bed early and earlier and waking up early and earlier, just for the sheer scheduling factor and their brains functioning earlier in the morning. So that's the first thing. The second part of it is mental preparedness. And that's something that parents often forget. Are you mentally preparing your kids for school? How do you feel about school? It's asking the questions. It's leaning in. How are you feeling about school? Tell me about your friends. Who are you most excited to see? Who are you not so excited to see? What are the things that brought you anxiety in your first semester or your first quarter? And what are the things that we can change? How can we break cycles? If you feel like there's a toxic friend, maybe we should go back into the new year not with that friend. If you feel like you're not measuring up, maybe it's time to make changes with your social circle. If there's a particular teacher that you're not vibing with or a specific class that you're not functioning in, maybe we need to get you a tutor. Really addressing the issues that build up to anxiety instead of just saying, you're fine. Now, it's very normal for the first week of school, the first week going back to be very stressful. So I always tell the parents, the first week's a wash. The first day, they are just complete zombies. The second day, they're just mad. The third and fourth day, they're just tired. And by the time you get to the fifth day, they're just complete and utter. It's like walking dead. It's just walking zombies. So don't expect much then. If you're noticing after week three or four, like as you head into February, you're still noticing that anxiety, it's a pure timing thing. That's when you got to start thinking about it. Are they not able to function in their normal activities? Are the things that normally bring them joy not bringing them joy? Those are red flags. Are they able to bounce back? Great. If they're not, you need to see your pediatrician, where the anxiety almost freezes them, where they can't function. They literally can't function. They're tearful. They're having panic attacks. They are having nightmares. They are having difficulty sleeping. All of a sudden, you see changes in their eating habits. Those are the things that need to see a pediatrician. And actually, mommy and daddy instinct, and we've talked about this before, is over 90% accurate. Isn't that insane? Just our human instinct of our children, that mama bear and that papa bear, is over 90% accurate. So if you're feeling something in your gut, don't ignore it. If you think, gosh, something is just up and my daughter or son is just not perking up like I'd expect, 90% of the time that's correct. So if you're feeling something, go in. There's people like me in your community that are here that are experts and that can help you. A lot of times things that you can do at home are like journaling. Journaling is so powerful. Putting down their phone and putting pen to paper is huge for teens because they can write out what their feelings are and then go back and revisit. And there is a healing process to it. As much as you think, oh my God, that sounds so hippy dippy, I'm telling you, I've seen the power of it. The power of meditation, the power of slowing down, the power of yoga, the power of mind body. Those things, if you can instill that in your teen young, will carry through their entire life.
Wow, what great advice. And I agree with you 100%, Dr. Sethi. So at school itself, once they're in high school, maybe they're not getting gym, you know, that often, or maybe they are. They have to concentrate, grades, GPA. There's a lot of pressure because then college, you know, so all of these pressures, what can we do as far as exercise? You mentioned yoga and meditation and all these great ways. How do we role model? How do we get them so that at school itself, they're not so stressed out sitting there in the classroom wondering if their GPA will be high enough to get the discount on auto insurance?
Right. Oh my goodness. It's so difficult to be a teen. One, it starts at home. Time spent with your child is the best time that you can spend. Time. They don't need things. They don't need to have. What they need is you. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be involved. So you being present and knowing that you're there and that you support them then jumpstarts their confidence, which translates to school. So time spent with your kids is number 1 through 10 on your list. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you're going for a walk, you're going for a hike. I don't care if you're just going to Starbucks and having coffee. Time spent with your child increases confidence, boosts their serotonin, and helps them in situations where you are not there. That's number one. Number two, getting them outside. Like you said, getting them outside, forcing them outside, because it is a force at the beginning. Vitamin D has been known to help. Being out in the sun helps them. It increases their serotonin. It helps them feel grounded and part of something bigger than just their tiny little phone. Their whole life is in a, you know, 11-inch screen when there's a beautiful 360 view of the world that they are missing. So getting them outside, going for a hike, going for a run, going to the water, walking up and down the beach, grounding them helps just create security and to make them realize that they're just one small person in this giant universe and the possibilities are endless. I just read this post about how mindful breathing and square breathing can often be as helpful as Xanax when you're having a panic attack. Teaching them about mind-body, how the mind controls the body, which is true. And actually, many adults need to learn this too. The mind controls the body. If they can control their thoughts, they can control their body. If they can control the way that they see the universe, the more control they're going to have in uncomfortable situations. So things like square breathing, things like talking them off the ledge, things like teaching them, what are my triggers? Am I feeling stressed because of the situation I'm in? Am I feeling stressed because of a past incident? Am I feeling stressed because of the person sitting next to me? Or am I just generally tired? Which honestly, probably 80% of the time when I see teens in the office, they're just tired. And they're not off their phone enough. They're not sleeping enough. They're not eating healthy enough. They're not fueling their body and then expecting their body to perform. And that is not fair. You cannot expect a child to go to school for 10 hours, then go to their sports activity, and then come home and study for 5 hours when they've not eaten breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and 2 snacks. They've not done any sort of slowing down of the day. So spending time teaching them how to slow down, how to deep breathe, and really figuring out what their triggers are help them in stressful situations. Most of the time, teens can't answer in the office for me the simple question of what brings them joy. They cannot answer that. And what makes them scared? They cannot answer those questions. That is how disconnected they are to their body. So I'm trying to spread the message to teens about what is happening in their body and what is happening in their environment and how is that affecting them instead of just, I feel nervous and I have no idea why. If you don't know what brings fear and you don't know what brings you joy, how can you talk yourself out of situations? And that's when people are so quick to put them on meds or so quick to then they go back on their phone because they feel stressed, they feel nervous, and they can offer that numbing of the phone. And so then they don't deal with their issues. But guess what? Those little tiny hills become mountains, and those mountains are very difficult to move when they have been learned behavior over the course of years.
That is such great advice, Dr. Sethi. So well put. What I can hear the passion in your voice as a pediatrician. If you had to give one final thought about teen anxiety today and school avoidance, when that may be a problem, what would you like to tell parents?
I would like to scream from the rooftops. This is no different from when you have a toddler. If you had a toddler that was hurting and fell, would you give them a hug? Of course. If you had a teen that was struggling, would you give them a hug? Of course. You have to lean in as a parent, even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, even when they push you away. It is your job to lean in and to be there for them and to never give up. Just the sheer fact that you try over and over and over sends a message to your teen. The worst thing that you can do is say, oh, well, you know what? She locked herself in a room and she just wants to be alone, so I'm just going to let her be alone. Sure. Do they need some privacy? Of course. But trust your gut instinct. If they've been in their room for too long, that's when you parent. That's when you parent and say, you know what, you've been in your room too long. We're going out. We're doing something. They need your time. They need your energy. They need your space. They need you to be off your phone and for you to parent because that's what they're looking for, a role model. They just want unconditional love. They don't need money. They don't need things. Even the pressure of experiences, you don't have to take them to Jamaica. You can just take them to the local park. You can take them to the local mountains. You can take them on a local hike. They just want you. And as much as it's hard and as much as you get your feelings hurt, you get back on that horse and you lean in with your teen. It will serve you. They will see that you love them and that love is unconditional. And that translates to confidence, which decreases anxiety, which decreases depression. And mind, body, the whys. Ask your teen what brings you joy. Ask your teen what makes you scared. If they can answer those questions, clearly you're doing a good job.
Wow, what a great segment. Dr. Sethi, you are an excellent guest. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing really your incredible expertise about the mysterious workings of our teens. So thank you so much. And that concludes this episode of It's Your Health Radio with Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital. For more information, please visit the free health information library at library.henrymayo.com. Or you can head on over to our website at henrymayo.com for more information and to get connected with one of our providers. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast and all the other Henry Mayo Newhall Hospital podcasts. I'm Melanie Cole.